The Minister of Health, Dr. Joe Patla, indicating on Friday that as of today, children between the ages of 12 and 17 will be eligible for COVID-19 vaccinations. He was addressing his weekly COVID-19 briefing last week Friday when the minister said the electronic registration system would be open from today on vaccinations, with starting, of course, on the same day. To understand the science around the 12 to 17 year olds receiving a vaccine, we join on the line now by Professor Linda Gail Becker, who's the director of the Desmond Tutu HIV Center at the Institute of Infectious Disease and Molecular Medicine at the University of Cape Town. Linda Gail, it's lovely to chat to you as always. Good morning to you.
Hi, African. Nice to be with you.
My understanding is that the 12 to 17 year olds will receive a single jab of the Pfizer vaccine. Why a single jab when the rest of us who have Pfizer administered onto their arms have had two jabs?
You know, Africa, is a little bit unprecedented because this isn't happening anywhere else. However, there is a rationale for it in that we know that vaccines sometimes do have fractionated doses. So, you know, smaller doses are used, for example, to boost or to spare vaccine doses when vaccines are in short supply. They can also be reduced in their dose to reduce potential reactogenicity. Now, the thing about the immune system is it's always more vigorous in younger people. So we always know that our young people have a better response to vaccines because their immune systems are just more robust. So it's, you know, likely that a smaller dose is going to have as good an impact, and you have less issues around, you know, reactogenicity and side effects. So I think this is a move by the National Department of Health to ensure that our children do get vaccinated and exposed, but don't necessarily have to undergo the same dose that those of us who have ailing immune systems just older need to go through. So, you know, there is a rationale for it.
Linda, there's a little bit of a distortion on the telephone line, unfortunately. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you back to Janice just to double check that we in fact have you on a clear line, because this is a very important conversation that we are having, seeing that many parents are waiting and desperate for their 12 to 17 year olds to go and receive their first dose of vaccination. And as Linda Gail Becker there was saying, it is unprecedented in many ways, because this is only country in the world that is administering one shot, one jab of the COVID-19 vaccine, as opposed to the double jab that the rest of us, the adults at least anyway, have been getting. I want to double check what we're hoping to find. Absolutely appreciate the argument that as a child, obviously they perhaps need a smaller amount of traces of the vaccine in order to enjoy the same efficacy and protection that you and I will be enjoying. Linda Gail, you were explaining to us before the break that the smaller, younger children in us don't need as much, I suppose, of the vaccine in our body for it to be as effective. But you also mentioned that we're the only country who's doing this at the moment. What are we hoping to find? And I imagine we'll be studying, obviously, the efficacy of going this route, won't we?
Yeah. No, I think, Africa, I hope you can hear me better now. You know, I think it is a worthwhile way to go. First of all, it means our vaccines go further. But secondly, you know, we'll be able to inform the rest of Africa. So I think it's an important question to ask and valid.
The decision to go with the 12 to 17 year olds I suppose in line with many other countries. I know the UK has gone this route, or at least thinking about it. The US definitely, seeking and finding authority from the FDA to inoculate younger children. Younger children have the ability to carry the virus and to spread it. They might not be as affected by it in terms of having to go to hospital or dying as the older members of society would be, but they are too affected by the virus.
Yes, they are, Africa. We don't, first of all, particularly children who have, for some reason, less immunity. So immune-compromised children have certainly had COVID and can have it quite badly. We also know long COVID can affect children. Children can have more long-term effects because of even quite mild infection. And then, as you mentioned, importantly, they help to continue to, have transmission of the virus by bringing it home, transmitting it to people at home and, of course, to each other. And being social animals, because they're younger, they obviously contribute to transmission much more, just because they tend to go out and socialize more, particularly adolescents.
The minister on Friday indicating that the department was monitoring the short-lived cases of the inflammation of the heart muscle, he said. What is that?
So Pfizer and Moderna in particularly, so the mRNA vaccines, have shown a very rare but nevertheless seemingly associated side effect where in particularly young men, they can have a transient inflammation of the heart muscle referred to as myocarditis or pericarditis, the lining of the heart muscle, which seems to be transient. It settles down after just a period of observation and some rest, not severe exercise, etc. It does settle down, but it has been noticed in other parts of the world, and obviously something we need to monitor.
He did say that it's short-lived cases, but how prevalent has it been, Linda Gale? And are, as you said, boys, but what additional sort of circumstances must be in play in order for a child to be presenting with the symptoms?
Yeah, we haven't really picked up a profile that helps us to figure out who would get it. So it's one of those, it does seem to be related to reactogenicity. So, it's a reaction. And what the individual may feel is sort of heart flutters, maybe a little bit of tiredness, a sense of maybe even a little bit of chest pain. And when investigated, these individuals do have some features of myocarditis, which can be picked up on, for example, an electrocardiogram. And then, as I say, with the period of observation, maybe a time where they don't exercise and take some rest, it does seem to just come right itself, so self-limiting. This has not been common. It's been discovered because large numbers of people have been vaccinated. Nevertheless, I think it is something we need to be aware of and be alert for and watch out for and see, whether this is a phenomenon we're going to see here in this country as well.
A question I have to ask, Linda Gale, and I suppose should be asking it to the Department of Health as opposed to you. We've been speaking here about a single dose of the Pfizer vaccine, which is generally available in the urban centres, Cape Town, Johannesburg, Pretoria and such. We know that we have not had an oversupply of Johnson & Johnson for numerous reasons, but those living in the rural parts of the country generally rely on that Johnson & Johnson as the more practical way, if you like, of being inoculated because of the refrigeration requirements. It's a single jab, etc., etc. What about the 12 to 17 year olds who live in Gqumbu in the Eastern Cape, for example? Will they not be inoculated then because it's the Pfizer jab that we're talking about here? Or will the Johnson & Johnson jab, should it be available, equally work to those children?
Yeah, so our problem is we haven't yet got, approval for Johnson & Johnson in the under-18. The vaccine that is approved at the moment is Pfizer, so it's around regulatory approval and where the trials have been done. So the clinical trials have been done in the 12 to 17-year-olds with Pfizer, so we have safety data. And I think this is why the department's gone down this road. It's about the approvals and the regulatory aspects of this. I do need to also say, Africa, that where we've seen the myocarditis, it's been after the second jab. So I think, again, this is a reason for only going with the one jab, is that we are likely, if we do have an associated issue with myocarditis, it's going to be reduced using this strategy. So I think, again, quite a good rationale.
Linda Gale, before I let you go, I'm going to ask John in Sandton to ask you the question he was going to ask me, because I think you're a much better place to answer it than I am. John, good morning. What's your question?
Good morning, Africa Malaria. My question to the professor is the confusing message that she has just spread right now, where she is saying that the kids are social animals and therefore they will spread this virus. Now, we all know that the vaccine doesn't stop the kids from getting the virus. And then she has also said that the kids don't really get affected by the virus to a point where, they get severe symptoms and then they can die. What's the point then? Why are we vaccinating the kids if they will not have the severe symptoms of death? And also, the vaccine doesn't prevent the kids from getting the virus. This message is what is causing problems right now in the country, where people are saying, okay, you're saying I must vaccinate, but it doesn't stop me from getting the virus. All it does is stop me from dying. I mean, I can die from cancer, I can die from anything, and it's my choice anyway.
Well, John, we're hoping that you're going to choose not to die, given obviously interventions that are in place. But it's an important question. Thank you for asking it. Linda Gale?
Yes, I agree with you, Africa. And I think it is a good question, and I can see why it causes confusion. So I think the important thing to say is that...
All right. And at that exact moment, the line it's quite a peri-urban part of Cape Town, decides not to hold out. John, thank you very much for that question, though. It is an important one. We'll get an answer for you from Linda Gale and then play it out hopefully before 6 o'clock this morning. Dr. Linda Gale Becker is with the Desmond Tutu HIV Center, which is at the Institute of Infectious Disease and Molecular Medicine at the University of Cape Town.